Gaming Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daz, and with me is my friend, Brendan. Bastich B, how are you, mate?
Very good, and you?
Oh, mate, I'm getting over this damn cold. I've had it for nearly a week.
Yeah.
You know, so I might I'm a bit husky, so, you know, a bit sensual today.
It just adds character to the show.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I sound like I've had like 10 packets of cigarettes this morning, even though I don't smoke anymore. That's what it feels like. It's shocking.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, so we're back for another episode. Episode number 4, man. So that's pretty cool. We're getting there. We're nearly hitting the big 5.
Yeah, we're stocking up.
That's it. So, we'll start before we get into all the games and stuff. What have you been playing, dude?
What have I been playing?
It's been a while since we've last had a chat, so I'm pretty sure there'll be a few things there.
I haven't been playing any new games as usual. I just don't have the time. And so I've just been playing stuff that I've been reviewing for my channel. I've been playing a lot of the Exploding Fist games on the C64.
Okay.
Exploding Fist and Fist 2. I've been having a good fun with those again. I haven't played Fist 2 in like forever.
Oh my god, Fist 2? Yeah. It's funny, Fist 2, when I played it back in the day, I thought it was like a hack. It to me doesn't feel like a finished game because it starts.
It's a bit weird, right? And there's no like menu system or anything.
I used to think, is this like a hacked version or something? And the music used to scare the living shit out of me. It used to make me feel very uncomfortable.
It's super cool in that game. It's so atmospheric.
It is.
Especially when you go into the caves. Holy crap. That scared me. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the music in The Last Ninja, you know, the dungeons.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that used to scare the hell out of me as a kid.
We're losers. but it used to creep me out. It used to creep me out. I don't know why.
Oh yeah. No, it is creepy.
Yeah.
Even playing it now, like I can just like it just feels like off, like ugh.
I might give it a go later today.
Yeah, I've just been playing that and have a few other C64 things, nothing new. I've been playing a lot of like arcade games on MAME on my RetroPie, just because I'm doing a documentary on that. So I've been playing like all horrible 70s arcade games, which are awful, but you know, it's where it all began, so it's pretty interesting to play them anyway.
Can I give you a recommendation or de-recommendation? Mutant Knight.
What?
Mutant Knight. Yeah, it's one of Tagster's favorites.
What year was that? Do you know?
Oh,
like roughly.
I'm guessing 70s, maybe 80. Late 70s? Nah, I'm about 84. No. I think.
Okay.
84, 85, maybe.
Yeah. I would have to see like screenshots of the game. I don't even know if I've ever played that before.
It's the precursor to Atomic Robo Kid.
Okay. I don't think I have played it.
Yeah. You'll be upset once you play and say, why did Darren tell me to do this? Yeah.
Okay. Now I definitely got to check this out.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's so bad. Yeah.
What have you been playing?
Oh, jeez. Besides being sick, I did get the latest Guilty Gear Strive on the PS5. So I've been waiting for months. I'm a big Guilty Gear fan. It's not good.
Oh, really?
That's not good.
Is it still made by Arc System?
Yes. Yeah. It's just not good. It's slow. The characters are just too big. They hog the screen and there's not much. It's just. Doesn't flow. It's probably the flow. It just doesn't flow like the others, you know? I mean, the last one was it? I forgot what the last one was called. It's my foggy brain at the moment being sick, but the one that was on the PS4 and PC, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic version. I still think Guilty Gear, I think it's XX Core, whatever the one that was on the OG Xbox. PSP, PS, that era.
Yeah.
Nothing beats that to me. I reckon that's the best Guilty Gear. But Strive is just Look, get it if you can get it for $20 or so, but not look. Yeah. Thankfully, I got it reduced as well. I got it for $70, which isn't the cheapest, but I mean, no. Everywhere else it seems to be selling for about $100. So,
wow.
Yeah, not recommended. It just doesn't feel right. My favorite character is not there. It just feels. It's very lightweight, you know. I think they're doing like everyone else does now. You got to buy your characters when they come out later. And
I can't handle that.
Yeah,
it's like the worst model.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I think if you do it like, I think Killer Instinct did it well. You know, you had packs and that kind of thing, but it just in the end, the game just doesn't play well. It's not a very good game. Hopefully, they fix it.
Well, Killer Instinct, I think when it came out on the original Xbox One, it was the game was free though.
Free, exactly.
So, if this was free and then you got to buy characters, then that's a different story, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right. I mean, look, Street Fighter V wasn't that great, but at least it was fun. It was okay. You know, they pretty much just worked off 4, even though it felt 4's better, but yeah, I don't know. I was not happy at all. Besides that, I've been playing just like you, the emulation, doing like arcade games, and I did purchase an Atari VCS joystick, the new one. So
I was going to ask you about that. How is it?
It's beautiful to play with. I mean, I got it working with my.
Looks fantastic.
It's very comfortable. I can't get pedals to work yet. I have to figure that out on the PC. Mm-hmm. It won't work with RetroArch, I found out, and Batacero and all that, because there's no pedal option in the in the Stella emulator. But on PC there is. So I saw someone doing it online on YouTube, and they got it working. So that's fine. I mean, because that's cool that it's got like a paddle option and a joystick option. It's really cool. It's on the little expensive side, but you know what? It's novelty. I actually like it. I thought it was okay. I'm happy with it. That's probably the best thing to come out of Atari in the last 40 years. besides the 7800, sorry, the 2800, 20, geez, I can't even talk, but I am that sick. The 2600. But Atari's tea was good too. But yeah.
What about the Lynx? I love the Lynx.
It was all right, I guess. It's not bad. It's a bit clunky, you know? I mean, I think back in the day it was awesome. Now I can't. Yeah. It's not bad.
I mean, playing it now, it's obviously clunky. But
yeah.
Definitely cool.
Gorgeous graphics on the thing, you know, some game. The sound
sounds
great. It
was basically
great.
An Amiga, handheld Amiga, thing.
Yeah. I still remember playing it for the first time at a computer store in CBD in Melbourne, and there was a Elvira pinball. I'm like, wow, this thing's awesome. You know, I had to play it vertically. I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah, it's a cool option.
Yeah,
I think you got to play Gauntlet like that
as well. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you flip it sideways and play it like upright. It's super cool.
It's funny. Side note again, I remember being at that shop and I was with my father. And, he always used to spoil me. And I remember I bought Weird Dreams on the C64 that day from that shop. And I've never seen it anywhere else. That's a really hard game to find.
I haven't even thought about that game in so long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, hard game. Very hard game. It's crazy hard.
Yeah.
But, and besides all that, because I've been sick in bed, I thought I'd charge up my Vita. It's been like over a year, if not more. And I started playing Shantae Half Genie Hero, and why I've never played this before is beyond me. It's so good. It just feels like Wonder Boy 3, the Dragon's Trap, you know, or Monster Boy. Man, it's what a game. Totally. So after this recording, I'm going back to bed and I'm gonna play it again. So that's really good. Really, really good. Shantae's a great series. Man. Yeah.
It is a good series. It's I don't know why I haven't played much of them. I mean, I've got it on PS4 and I played it for 10 minutes and I've never gone back to it. But it was super cool. I just simply didn't have the time.
Yeah, it takes a bit of attention. It's not a game you can just pick up and play. But there is a lot of save points in there, which is great. So it's fun. I'm like you. I've always played little bits and pieces, and there's one called the Pirate's Curse, and So I've got that. I think I've got that like 5 times on every system, and I still haven't really played it. So yeah, that's it for that. So what are we reviewing for our first little mini review? It was your pick, by the way.
Yeah, so I thought I'd just play or review a game which is just out of left field, and I chose Street Fighter Alpha 2 for no apparent reason. I don't even know why. I just wanted to play that game again. So I chose the Saturn version because I absolutely love the Saturn. It's like one of my favorite consoles of all time. North America, the thing got trashed and, you know, has a lot of trashy games. But, mm-hmm. If you look at the core of the Saturn, where it was really popular, like Japan, they had so many great games on it. It's unbelievable. And half of them didn't even come out anywhere
else. Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
Unfortunate.
Crazy.
It's crazy. It's just crazy. But anyway, Street Fighter Alpha 2. So this is obviously a sequel to Street Fighter Alpha, which came out about a year or so earlier. And both of these were based on arcade games, although I never ever saw these games in the arcade. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I did.
Any of the Alpha games? Mm-hmm. You did?
I never
across an Alpha game.
No, they were here. They were everywhere here, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Arcades where I was in South Africa at that point, there was very few of them left. So I guess we didn't get half of the games in the probably like mid-90s to the mm-hmm. late-90s. You know, we got less and less of them. So I just never saw this game.
That was
so
dying.
It was always it was dying then. So this game was always like a home game to me, but it was made on Capcom CPS2 board, the arcade board, and released in 96. The game also came out on PS1 and Saturn in 96 as well, which I think is pretty cool that it came out the exact same year it came out in the arcades, which is pretty quick turnaround. And it's Alpha 2 for me is probably one of the most fun fighting games I've ever played. I just there's something weird about it that it clicks when you play it, especially the flow of the game is just so precise, and the way you can perform moves, and while you're doing those moves, you can kind of roll it into other moves. Like you can keep doing the moves and they kind of flow in a pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
It flows really well. I mean, Alpha 1 did it pretty good as well, but I think Alpha 2 just perfected it. It has a lot of extra kind of additions that the original didn't have. Like there was like the alpha counters, it's got the air blocking, which is mm-hmm. pretty cool, so you don't ever, well, you can still get into situations where your friend juggles you a bit, but not unlike other fighting games, well, not all fighting games, but a lot, you know, you don't get into like really juggly positions, mm-hmm. which is super annoying when you're playing these kinds of games. And there's quite a lot of characters. I think there's roughly 18 to 20 characters. I think there's 18. And although Alpha 3, which came later, has like a million more characters, yeah. I kind of like the middle ground amount of characters when I play a fighting game. I don't know about you. You know, I don't like, you know, having like, say, 5 characters is not enough. Having 15... pretty good. Having like 40, it kind of puts me off, you know, when you for me personally,
it depends. It depends.
I always feel like I'll never have enough time to play them all and really enjoy it, you know what I mean?
I like variety. I think the thing with Capcom, when they do a fighting game that's got like 40 characters in there, they're done properly. You know what I mean?
That is true.
When you get like SNK, some of them are a bit rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, yeah.
But most are
gets
good.
A bit lost.
Yeah. But anyway, carry on, and I'll give you my opinion.
And this one, if you don't know, the Alpha series is like a prequel to Street Fighter 2. So there's the characters look like younger the graphics are like a little bit more cartoony, but it's still very pixel arty kind of. And I really love that style. the way the characters look. It's just I love Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, it's more anime.
Yeah, so yeah, it's more anime. Yeah. And this Alpha 2 also brings back a whole bunch of characters, like fan favorites, which weren't in like the original Alpha, like Dalsim, or however you want to say it, Zangief. They also bring back Gen from Street Fighter 1. Mm-hmm. You got some Final Fight guys like Relento and Gar.
Yeah.
Relento is pretty fun to play with. And I think this was the debut of Sakura. I could be wrong. I'm trying to think back if she was in another game before this. I think this was her debut. Anyway, super cool character. And yeah, so as per usual with all Capcom stuff, you know, it's got that kind of Japanese city pop kind of funk soundtrack, which I absolutely love. It's got a couple of throwbacks to like old Street Fighter tunes in there that have been like remixed. It's just fantastic. And this game is just, for me, you know, it's just like, it's everything a fighting game should be. The Saturn version does have a few extras, which none of the other ones had. It kind of has an art gallery, and it also has a couple other little modes. I think survival mode might be exclusive to the Saturn, which is kind of like a just, you know, fight as long as you can. And, you know, if you take a guy out, you get a little bit of extra energy back and then just keep going, which was always like a real favorite with my friends. We could see how far we could get. So that's also a fun mode. Yeah, so overall, just Alpha 2 is just... it's just a fighting game I just absolutely love. I put it on the other night, you know, just to check it out again and, you know, get my brain into the fighting mood. And I just clicked right back into it with the flow of...
Same,
like, you know,
same.
As soon as I picked up the Saturn controller, I just knew how to do the moves. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have to think about it. Everything was just flowing. So for me, that's like gameplay is just spot on that game. I mean, Alpha 3 is technically a better game if you really want to, you know, more modes. It's got like this like RPG story kind of modey thing going on there. It's got like almost probably double the amount of characters. There's so many characters in that one. But this one is just like a nostalgic spot for me. And the amount of times I played it with friends, you know, we all sat around playing that game mm-hmm. We were all like pretty much on the same skill level. So when we played it, the matches came down to that final punch,
that's exciting.
That's the best way to play a fighting game if you're playing against people that are on your same skill level, because oh man, it's the best. Yeah, that's my Alpha take. Alpha 2, anyway.
Cool. Is it your favorite Street Fighter or not?
Yes,
it is. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's
my favorite one.
Yeah. It must be more nostalgic for you, I think, for what you growing up.
Nostalgic. Like a lot of rounds of that played with friends good times.
Nah, the Saturn version's solid, so I don't blame it. Even the PS1 version's good.
The PS1 version's good. The animation is lacking.
Cut down a bit, yeah, yeah.
Cut down, yeah. You can definitely notice it, but it's also pretty decent, yeah.
No, they did all right with that still. I remember playing this back in the day in the arcades too, and blew me away. I loved it. Rose was my go-to character for some reason. I just thought I'd try someone different.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I used to kick butt with her.
She was pretty good.
Yeah. And... And then, see, I didn't have a Saturn when it was out. I got it when it was dying. So,
okay.
Yeah, I got a Saturn. There was a store here. It's called the Reject Shop. They were selling Sega Saturns, brand new, for $50.
Wow.
Yeah, and games for like $10 each. I grabbed so many games. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy the amount of games.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, they flew off the shelves, dude. It was crazy. Yeah. But anyway, but I didn't have Alpha 2 then. Mm-hmm. But playing it recently, because then I have played it again after that. I did really enjoy it. But again, look, I do prefer Alpha 3. I think it's far superior personally, because it's got Karen in it. I kill people with her. But,
great character.
But look, yeah, overall, I think, look, like you said, the controls are spot on. It just feels nice and solid. It just, it flows perfectly. The Saturn version's just, you know, you wouldn't care if you didn't play the arcade version, because it was pretty much the arcade version.
No, but,
besides the long loading, I think the loading was a bit, mm-hmm. you know, iffy. But besides the loading, I think it's great. The sound, the sound's really nice. It's got like a warm feel to it, does it? It's like it's strange. I can't explain it. It's got a warm sound.
That's actually a lot of Saturn games have that kind of. I don't know what it had. Yeah, like it's almost like fuzzy warmness.
Yeah, it's strange. It's very strange.
I think it must be the sound chip. I don't know.
It sounds very arcadey, I think, because of that. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's something that Capcom did with it. But overall, look, if you're up for a quick punch on with some mates, I think Alpha 2 is a good pick for something quick. But yeah, if you want something a bit more characters, I'd say Alpha 3. But Alpha 2 is still up there, and I still recommend it. I give it only because Alpha 3 is out. Okay, I can't. Right. I'll give it 7 Street Fighters out of 10.
Seven. I give it 9. It's my favorite Street Fighter game. So, I mean, it's close to Street Fighter 2. Yeah. They almost, you know, it's very hard for me to choose, but I think Alpha 2 I had probably the most fun with.
Yeah, that's fair
enough. In my like nostalgia days, you know what I mean? Nostalgic fighting days.
Yeah. I guess you can see it as, because, like, I mean, my favorite King of Fighters is 98. I'd rather play that than over 2000 and all that kind of thing. You know what I mean? So I guess it's what you accustomed yourself to when you're growing up and playing with friends.
It's definitely, because my favorite King of the Fighters game is probably 95.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow.
That was the one I played the most, man. I played that a lot on my Saturn.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Played that like crazy with the RAM card in and everything. Jeez.
We had the RAM card and everything. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was stuck with my PS1 back then. I didn't have anything like that. Wow.
I was a Saturn guru.
You have the import? Did you have the import? Or?
Oh, yeah. I had a Japanese Saturn. I got one in probably 96.
Okay.
It was pretty close to just after it was released.
Nice one.
Yeah, so I had tons of Japanese games. Tons.
Were they easy to get just in South Africa then?
No, they weren't.
So that would have been like tricky to get back then.
There was this dodgy import dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. And he just got everything.
Yeah.
And you could ask him, you could give like requests. Like I remember requesting X-Men versus Street Fighter for my Saturn.
Yeah.
And he said, I said, can you get this game for me? And he's like, yeah. And it's like, that's all he said. I was like, okay, listen, I'm talking about the Saturn version here. And I'm like, you know, there was the RAM card, and I'm trying to explain it to him. But his English was like almost non-existent, right? So, and I'm like, can you get this game? He's like, yes. He says, come back in two weeks. I'm like, 2 weeks? Like, how's that even possible?
Wow.
Anyway, probably about 2-3 weeks later, I go back there and I said, have you got X-Men versus Street Fighter? He says, yes. And he just puts it on the table. Like, I don't know where this guy
original
got this
copy,
from.
Everything, with original the RAM card, everything.
Japanese copy, everything.
Wow. And I was
like, okay. But I mean, it cost me like 650 Rand.
What's that?
Which I don't even know what. Jeez. It's astronomical.
Okay, I'll go look that up.
I mean, now, I don't know what it is worth now. You know what I mean? Like in terms of currency. But back then, 650 Rand was a hell of a lot of money.
Oh, that's 61 Australian dollars. That's cheap.
Yeah.
That would have been expensive then. That would have been about 100
then,
bucks.
Back in about, 96 or whatever, in South Africa, that is a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah. Wow, that's actually quite good considering, though.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't rip you off.
No. And then after that, I think, like I said, can you get me GoldenEye on N64? The answer is like, yes. Same thing. You could get anything from that guy.
Yeah. I had the Japanese great. N64.
Hey, you had?
No, did you have a Japanese N64?
Oh, no. My N64 was... I had the...
You guys ran PAL. Didn't South Africa have PAL?
Yeah. I had the American version of the N64 for some stupid reason.
I think that's a better reason. 60 hertz just run better. But then it's an N64 as well, so...
Exactly. There were only like 3 games that were good.
Oh, we're nasty. All right. There's our first review. And the people have spoken. We had 4 games up for the vote of games, and I shall go to that vote because I can't remember the other 3 games that we had. Where are we? See how prepared we are? It's great. Okay, where are we? Let's go to the Twitters.
I can't even remember either.
Here we go. We had Drop Zone, Chips Challenge, Rock and Wrestle, and Exelon. With a landslide.
Good selection.
Oh, it's a good mixture there. It was a good mixture. This vote was also on Facebook and YouTube, wasn't it? You had it up on YouTube?
Yeah, I put it up on my channel also, yeah.
Yeah. And what won on all 3 was Drop Zone. I was very surprised.
Actually, so was I. I wasn't really expecting it to win. At one point on YouTube, at least, Rock and Wrestle was giving it a good run for its money.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drop Zone just boosted ahead at the end there. So, yeah.
That's nuts. I was happy Exelon would win. I just love that game. Yeah. That, on Twitter, they got the least.
I know. It got the least on everything, I think.
That's crazy.
Which is a shame because it's a really good game. I just don't think a lot of people remember it for some reason.
Yeah, maybe, strange one. But yeah, so Drop Zone it is. I'll be honest, I did not want to do this game. I'm saying this for a reason. And you'll hear a bit later. But okay, so this game had a lot of versions. A lot.
Eight
versions. Well, I was like Brendan was like
we both weren't prepared for that.
No. I thought Brendan picked it, because that was one of his suggestions. He's probably thinking there was only like 3 or 4 versions. It's like, dude,
that's what I thought.
Nah, there's more. There's more here. I mean, we've also added in Super Drop Zone. It's pretty much the same game. Just looks prettier, yeah. So we thought, let's just throw that in there as well.
Yeah, it's kind of a remix.
Yeah. I thought it's only fair we chuck it in there. So, so Drop Zone, Brendan.
Yeah, so before we continue, I just want to make it clear that both of us, Daz and I, we don't discuss what we think of the game before this podcast. So everything, we keep both of us in the dark.
That's right.
So I don't know what he's going to say at all. I have no idea what his take is, and he has no idea my take, which I think makes it a lot more fun to, anything's going to happen. Yes. But anyway, so let's get back to Drop Zone. So this game was released in 1984, and it originally came out on the Atari 8-bits. And it was done by Archer MacLean. He's a programmer who, in the 80s, he did a lot of really cool stuff. And International Karate, System 3, RK Plus, what a fantastic game. He did some of those Jimmy White snooker games. I think I played one of them on the Amiga. I don't know if you played any of those.
The Jimmy White? Jimmy White's... Nah.
It's not... Not really my thing, but they got good reviews back in the day. Anyway, so Drop Zone is basically a clone game. I would say it's a clone of 1980s Defender by Williams, the arcade game. So basically, it is exactly the same. You have to in Drop Zone, you kind of over a moon on Jupiter, and you have to save scientists. You gotta fly down and pick them up and put them in your base. You're basically protecting them from aliens attacking and killing them. You gotta get them in there quickly, blast the aliens to clear a level. It's exactly like Defender in every single way. But I think it's better than Defender. That's gonna cause a lot of
I agree.
heartache.
I agree 100%.
Well, good. So there's also like a lot of different aliens in this game, which I really like. It's a nice variety of things that attack you. You know, it's like the little space invaders kind of guys. You got ones that are more like bounty hunters that seek you out, and you got to like go on the run and blast them. And you got ones where you shoot them and they split up into these like electric snakes that fly across the sky. Those things are hectic. There's also like weather patterns, like clouds that come over the planet and shoot lightning bolts. So there's like a whole lot of like cool little things. Your character's like a dude in a spacesuit, and you got like three basic attacks. You got your laser fire, which is just your regular fire. You've got a cloaking device, which for whatever reason I hardly ever used when I played this game, which can make you like invisible. And you also got smart bombs, which is just, blows up everything on screen, the classic. The game also has a really like kind of an arcade feel, like when you eventually die, it like ranks you, like it gives you like a title. You know, you can become like Trekkie or Ace or, Planet Lord. It just goes all like higher and higher. The game also had 99 levels, although I've never got anywhere close to 99 in any time I've ever played it. But I'm curious as to what happens later on. It's supposedly each level supposed to be different, but I don't know about that. But the conversion to the C64, though, the version that I played when I was a kid was done actually by Archie MacLean himself. He actually converted the whole thing single-handedly, which I thought was pretty cool. So all the other versions, as far as I know, were programmed by other people. He did have a bit of a say in it, or maybe just credited as creator. But that version and the Atari 8-bit were both done by him, totally. And as we mentioned earlier, there's eight different versions of this game, which is quite a lot. I wasn't expecting that. I've only like played a couple of them. I never knew there were so many.
I only played one back in the day, so
Yeah, only
this was a
one.
bit can I say overwhelming.
It was when I actually looked through it, and then I spoke to Daz. I was like, "Do you realize there's this many versions?" We were both like, "Oh, jeez." But anyway, I actually had a lot of fun playing all of them, but that's a different story. We'll get to that, I guess. And that's Drop Zone in a nutshell, I think. It's a Defender clone, but kind of better.
So, all right, we'll get started.
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to go first? I'll give you a bit of a breather.
Yeah.
Okay, because you went through all that. Okay, we'll start with the Atari 8-bit. Look, like I said, I went into this game. I did not want to do this game at all. And starting with the Atari 8-bit, I'm like, oh, this is just boring. I don't know. It's hard. I don't know what I'm doing. And I just kept playing and playing. It's like, anyway, it has a nice little title screen when it starts up, and no intro music. Game only has sound effects, which I thought was a bit boring. I don't know. The usual sound effects you'd hear, normally in a normal early 80s game with the bush, typical clash bang noises, controls were tight. I found the collision detection can be a little iffy, a little bit. Scrolling was perfect, fast and smooth. This is what annoyed me the most, is that I found it hard to tell what the enemy bullets were or the stars. I found that it got just a bit confusing for me sometimes, and I couldn't pass level three. It was just doing my head in. It was just really pissing me off. Look, in the end, I just found that it was hard to make out what things are. I don't know. Look, overall, I guess it's a good version. I mean, it's the original. I can't base it off anything else. I think, look, if you had it back in the day, it was new, and like I wasn't introduced to this game, So, like, when I started the C64, I didn't go to the early 80s type games. I played a lot of the mid 80s to late 80s yeah. games when I got mine. So I didn't really play any of these older stuff. It wasn't that common for me. So, look, again, I didn't come out loving the game at all. I didn't really like it. I was still on the sitting on the fence thinking, nah, this is not good. I'll chuck in the C64 one quickly as well. It was identical. So playing both, I just both versions just bored the living crap out of me. I really didn't like it. I can't say it's a bad game. I'm not going to say it's bad because I'm not good at it. It's not fair that I say that it's shit because it's not. I'm just not good at it. And it's something that I had to... The more I played, the more I practiced. So I learned more about this game the further I reviewed. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so don't get angry at me yet. Brendan?
Yeah, so I hadn't played the Atari 8-bit version before this,
mm-hmm.
because I had the C64 one first.
Yeah.
But I'll just start on the C64 one, seeing as that's what I played first.
Yeah.
And I had this on a bootleg disc, just like, you know, Dodgy Dave.
Yes.
Sent me a disc or something. Anyway, it was on one of those, and I found it and I loaded it up, and I really liked it when I originally played it, like straight off the bat. I mean, I knew it was basically Defender, because I had Defender on my Atari 2600 and I played the crap out of that thing. So, but you know, it was just so much better. And the game is on the C64. The graphics are pretty good. It's very smooth. The scrolling is great. I like the speed of it. It's kind of a middle ground speed as far as all the versions go. You know, there's certain versions that go scroll a little bit too fast, where it's like almost like it's out of control. And there's ones that are just middle ground, and I liked the speed of this one. I mean, there's no music, which is really odd for a C64 game, but the sound effects in there are quite good. I kind of like them, especially the explosion sound when you blow up. It's super cool. Yeah, I like this game. I just always had fun with it. I was never an expert at it. I mean, you know, I could never get to like level 80 or something, which is ridiculous. But I could get pretty far, like, you know, back in the day when I was really like concentrating. And like Daz said, the more you play this game, the better you get at it. And you really do get better at it. It's definitely a game where you can learn how to play it well. And anybody that can play it well, it's impressive to watch somebody play it, because it does take a lot of skill. The game can be a little bit unfair, like, you know, when the amount of enemies and that, but still, there is a massive degree of skill that's involved with this game, which you can really master. So I really like this one. I think Zap64 gave it 95% back in the day.
That's crazy. Which is
a hell of a high score, but... I don't know whether I'd give it that much, but definitely not. But, you know, they were basing it on the fact that, you know, as far as being like an arcadey kind of game on the C64 in 1984, you know, it's pretty impressive. It's basically feels exactly like an arcade game of the era,
mm-hmm.
like replicated perfectly in terms of gameplay and everything. So
I get
where they're coming from. As far as the Atari 8-bit version goes, it's almost, like Dare said, it's almost exactly the same for me. The graphics are almost identical. I noticed a few sound glitches, especially when you die and you explode. Like, it has like a popping sound before you explode, which got on my nerves a little bit. But besides that, you know, it plays well. It feels pretty good. I didn't find it as enthralling as the C64 version, but that's probably just nostalgia, because the game is almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
But it is good. It's a good version. Obviously, it's original. And that's what I think of those ones.
Cool bananas. Next, I went into the NES version. This is what I thought, anyway. The title screen had music. Game only has sound effects once again. Plays much like it should, just like the computer versions. But I found it was easier to make out what was going on due to the improved visuals. This is what the C64 version could have looked like. It's just, yeah. It looks like the C64 could have did what the NES version is. So, I don't know. I like the graphics on the NES version. I think they did all right. Controls were, I thought, were tighter again. What was really annoying was that enemies would just pop up at random, and it just comes out for you. You know that stupid thing that just homes in on you all the time?
Yeah.
It's like the NES version, that guy, it's pissed me off. I don't know why it's a guy, but it's a guy. Yeah. That enemy. It would just come out of nowhere and just kill me. I found it very unfair. I think they should have implemented that if you weren't doing anything. You know what I mean? If you're just standing there and just mucking around a little bit and doing nothing, I think that's when something like that should. Yeah. It's like, hurry up, you know what I mean? Bubble, how you got that ghost that will come out. And if you're not, you know, that it should be implemented that way, not just random.
Like
that,
yeah.
Which I didn't like. Yeah. I thought it was much better to play over the computer ports. I enjoyed this one a little more. I'm starting to like Drop Zone a little bit more now. So, look, I could go back to it. It's actually not too bad. I just think the 64 version could have did this the same.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, graphically anyway.
Yeah. I think with the NES version, you also got to bear in mind that it came out in 1992.
Wow, that late?
That's a long time. Damn. That's a hell of a long time after the... What's that like?
That's eight years
after the original. So, you know, got to bear that in mind, I guess. And, for me, the NES version was... Like you said, the controls are really tight, I felt. I felt that the scrolling was a little bit too fast. It was hard to, you know...
Okay.
Hard to see sometimes what the hell was going on because it scrolled so fast.
Yeah, it was fast.
Yeah, it's definitely like one of the fastest versions. I tried multiple versions of this because I had a lot of sprite flickering, you know, the good old NES sprite flickering, and I found all of them had that, which, oh man, the NES and sprite flickering just gets on my nerves. Overall, that music in the beginning, my God, it's horrendous. I mean, I welcome music in a game, but my goodness, it's hard to even tell whether that was supposed to be music or sound effects. I don't know what that was supposed to be. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that love NES music, but I've never been a fan. It's just horrendous. But anyway... Overall, though, it is quite a good version. The controls are tight, but I also had problems. I think in this version, seeing the scientist dudes, they kind of blended in with the background on the surface of the moon. So I found them hard to see sometimes, especially with the game scrolling so freaking fast. But overall, yeah, it's pretty good.
Cool bananas. All right, let's go to Game Boy Color. I thought we'll stick to still 8-bit, yeah, before we go to 16-bit. I played this twice because I was curious. I played it on emulation and I played it on a handheld. First was emulation. Has intro music, no in-game music, not as fast or as much going on, which makes it easier to play, which I liked. But at the same time, it did make it more boring. So, I found it was much easier to play as you can see what's going on, though, during emulation. Because then when I played on real hardware, which I did first, actually I should have reviewed that first, but the screen just feels too small for this game. Right. It just doesn't... The play area is zoomed up, but... It just looks...
You can't see further enough.
It's very, very hard to play on a handheld. So play on emulation on a monitor. I think it's okay. playing it how it's meant to be intended, no, it's terrible.
No.
It's just hard to see what's going on. That for me.
Yeah.
For me. But everything, the controls were fine. And like I said, it was a bit slower, and which I liked at the start, but then it does get a bit boring. The game does need to be a bit faster. It can't go slow. It can't really hold your hand in the way, because that's how it was doing. But again, like, the screen was just too small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it for
me. Yeah, so for the Game Boy One, I played it through emulation. And it's got no music. The sound effects were pretty much the same as the 8-bit versions, you know, the C64 and Atari, very similar. This game did come out in 2001, which is really long time after the originals.
Yeah.
What's pretty weird is while I was, this is a tangent, a side tangent, while I was researching this game, I didn't realize that none of these versions came out in North America besides the Game Boy Advance version, which I found pretty weird. Especially the Atari 8-bit, because the Atari 8-bit was pretty popular in North America. So the
fact that version didn't
come out, it's very strange.
Oh.
So over here, the Game Boy Advance version was the only one they ever got. So, which does explain where I've mentioned this game over here before, and I just got blank stares. But anyway, the Game Boy version. I did like the option that you could change the background to, like, have the black or white options.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried both of them. I found the white one to be a little bit easier to see what the hell was going on, to be honest. I don't know whether it's the best way to play it. I switched to the black version background. And, you know, I think the main problem with this game is, like you said, you can't see far enough. So you kind of just run into things, you know, you got the map at the bottom, but it doesn't help when your play area is so small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't react fast enough. Even if you're looking at the bottom and you're shooting, it's just too quick. You get hit by things all the time and it becomes annoying pretty quickly. The graphics overall for a Game Boy Color, were pretty decent, I think. I didn't have any issues with it.
Yeah, graphics were all right.
It played decently, like, control-wise, but you can't really see far enough, so it kind of limits, like, your enjoyment. I mean, I don't think this game is meant to be played on a handheld system unless you have some sort of widescreen. Like, maybe if you put this on the Vita, you know, that would be fantastic, but playing this on kind of, you know, like a 4x3 kind of looking screen, you know, old-style handheld, it just doesn't work. So for this, you know, this version just doesn't work for me.
Well, there you go. I guess we're on the same page with that one.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go into the Game Gear version. Seeing we're still 8-bit and another handheld. And before I go into it, the start of it has some really cool intro music by Takata and Fugu in D minor. I don't know if I butchered that name. But you will know the music, and here it is.
Fuck, right? Yeah.
You go. You think you're about to be playing? You think you'd be playing Gyrus or Gyrus? How you pronounce it? Yeah, exactly. That was very random.
Gyrus. Yeah.
It's very random. Why?
I actually really like that.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so that got me G'd up a bit. You know, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
The screen is zoomed up like the Game Boy version. Plays smoothly. I thought the play area was good on emulation and on handheld. I've tried both again. I think it just felt better. Where do we go here? Okay. Codemaster Codemasters did this. I thought that was strange.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Codemasters did this version, and they did a great job, I think. Main character looks like he's eaten a few too many hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was funny. It just looks strange.
It's weird.
But it plays well. It's nice. Like I said, it's played smoothly. Speed's great. There's not much going on. It's not as busy, which I think is fair because of the size of the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like this port. It was good. It's not your definitive drop zone. It's not something that you would say you have to play the Game Gear version, but it's nice for a pick up and play if you had it back in the day. I think it's like, it's not bad. It feels like a cut down drop zone. Again, see, I'm starting to like the game a little bit more because I'm starting to know what to do now. So
yeah.
Yeah. So that's the Game Gear version.
Yeah. Yeah, the Game Gear one for me. This one came out in 94. So good few years after the original again. I love how randomly this game has like popped up over the years. But anyway, yeah, that music in the beginning, like super, super cool. Like it juiced me up like straight away. I mean, it just reminded me of Garrus.
Yeah.
Some people call it Jarrus.
I think I say Garrus.
I'm calling it Garrus.
It's Garrus.
And that's always what I've called it. Yeah. But anyway, it just like, you know, made put me in the mood like immediately. The game is game's quite good. The character, like you said, I felt he was like a little bit too big. So it you know, it cuts down on this, you know, your reaction time when you're trying to dodge things. I don't know why they made him so big, but the game runs really smoothly. It played well. The sound effects in that were pretty much, again, almost an exact copy of the C64 and Atari 8-bit. It's almost like they just converted it and slightly altered it. It's like the sound effects just reminded me of it immediately, so it just put me in a good mood when I played it. I played this through emulation as well because my Game Gear died like a few months ago, which is unfortunate, so I couldn't even play it like they were. But if you play it through emulation, you know, the character is big, so it's a little bit difficult to play it, but it's a thousand times better than the Game Boy one, which is kind of not really playable. So as a handheld, I'd say it's probably like the best version that there is until somebody else makes something, I guess. But I like it. I mean, it's not like it's not going to make you convert you to Drop Zone, like being like an ultra fan or anything. But, you know, if you go to a convention and you see Drop Zone for the Game Gear lying on the table for like $5, yeah, I would definitely pick that thing up.
Yeah.
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 It's a pretty good blast.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, that's just Drop Zone. So, which was your favorite with those ones out of all that we've just reviewed?
Out of all those ones? Ooh, okay. Well, just pure nostalgia-wise, the C64 one. I know you don't like that one, but that's the one I played the most out of all those. So I've got the best feeling for it, like especially gameplay wise, like the timing and everything. So I can play it really well. The other ones, obviously, I've played these for the first time, so I haven't played them as much. But I like the C64 one the best, even though I think the NES one is probably like out of the 8-bits is a bit better. And you?
Fair enough. Yeah, mine's NES. I actually didn't mind that one.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we're going into Super Drop Zone territory now. Like we've mentioned, it's more of a remaster or an update. It's pretty much the same game, but only there's boss battles in between levels, which is cool. I like that. This is when Darren started enjoying this game.
Spices it up a bit.
Yeah, I think it spices it up so much more. So we started with the SNES version. And I thought, okay, this is how it started off with this music. That just sounds awesome. That just sounds so awesome. That's when I like when developers use the SNES audio chip properly.
It's used well. Yeah,
it's when it's sampling. It just sounds great. So yeah, I was like, okay, fancy. And it had this fancy FMV intro. Like, what the hell? That is crazy. Graphics were great. Sound was pumping. Controls are perfect. Has sampled speech as well.
Prepare to defend Io.
Like, come on, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know, I love it.
You know,
it like reminds me of an old arcade game.
Yeah, it's great. It actually reminds me of Dune.
Prepare to defend Io.
Oh, yeah.
Dune 2, you know?
Yeah,
same totally. Voice. I loved they had the boss battles. It was just such a refreshing port. I loved it and would play it again. I think it improves on the original on all levels. So I absolutely loved this game. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I mean, thankfully I played the other versions prior because I knew what I was doing by the time I got to the SNES version.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really enjoyed it. I think it's great. Why I never played it back in the day is because I was put off by the original and I never gave this one a go. You know what I mean? So
I wish
I did play this when it came out on the SNES. I think I would have, this would be in my top. I really, really loved it. I thought it was unreal.
Yeah.
It just plays perfect. I loved it. Did I say I loved it? Loved it.
Yeah. You love it.
Yeah. Okay, so this would have been the first time you played it too,
yeah? It does capture the best of, like, classic arcade gaming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Super Drop Zone, man. I played it a couple of years ago on emulation.
Okay.
Just briefly. Just because I was curious. And I thought it was cool, but I didn't, like, play it. And, you know, I only gave it, a minute or so. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see what it looked like. But when I played it now... Damn, is it a cool game. It's just arcade gaming at its best, done so, so well.
Yeah.
The graphics are just fantastic. They, the colors and everything. It's got an intro, so, I mean, the intro doesn't make any sense whatsoever that I could figure out, but who cares?
Yeah.
It just, it adds, like, character to it. The music, like you said, it's got this, like, cool kind of cinematic, like, you know, Michael Bay kind of garbagey intro music, which just like pumps you up to blow stuff up, you know. Let's have some explosions, kids. So what I also liked about this game is, like, when you're in the game, it doesn't have music just like all the others, but it has this like planet sound ambience, like this drone, kind of like the Alien movies. Like, we hear that kind of drone of the planet. I didn't notice it at first because it's like, you know, you're shooting lasers and you can't hear anything. But when I like tuned into it, like this drone in the back, I was like, oh man, that is super cool. It's like,
it's so much
subtly like adding atmosphere in the background there. It's like great. The scrolling is really good. It's fast. It's not too fast like the NES version. It's just the right amount of speed, I think. Gameplay is super tight. I played the Game Boy Advance version before this.
Yeah.
And I found that the controls in that one's a little bit twitchy and this
is much more
smooth.
Yeah.
Anyway. I wasn't expecting the boss battles. So when that happened after finishing the first level, I was like, what the hell
same.
Is this thing coming down?
This is great.
And I was just like, I started blasting it and I was just like, is this after every level? And yeah, it's after every level. And I was just like, it's super, super cool. It's like this Death Star thing comes down on the first level and opens up and just starts shooting stuff out of it. I found it a little bit difficult in the beginning to take out the bosses because I'd played the old version so much. So getting that kind of balance between like hovering just in the right place to be able to shoot it without like going out of control. Because when you play this game, you're used to like flying left and right really fast. Mm-hmm. So I did find it kind of hard to take out the bosses in the beginning. But once you if a couple goes, you get used to it and it's very satisfying blasting them up and seeing the massive explosion. But I think it's fantastic version.
We're on the same page. It blew my mind.
I wish I had played it back in the day. I never had a Super Nintendo in the 90s, like when it came out. We just didn't get one, so I couldn't actually play it. So, but playing it, even playing it now, it's just like, wow, what a cool game.
Yeah, I'll be going back to this, and I have been, actually. I really enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, all right. We'll go to the GBA version. Okay. What I find at the GBA one... It's pretty much the SNES version zoomed up in the player area, and it plays at 10 times the speed.
Yeah.
It feels like the 8-bit computer versions, but I think it's the weaker Super Drop Zone port. I didn't like it. I really didn't. It just doesn't work on the GBA. It was just too fast. I think it was... GBA and SNES pretty much muchness is the same power, if anything. The GBA's got more power, but it's just it doesn't work on that small screen. It just they had to redo it is zoomed up, but it just doesn't work like the Game Gear version. Get what I'm saying? I think they needed to actually rework the whole game to make it work on the GBA.
Because even
playing it on emulation on the monitor, it just didn't feel right, especially after playing the SNES version.
I've thought the controls are really twitchy on this one.
Yeah.
I found it hard to control, even though it looks almost exactly like the Super Drop Zone on the Super NES, but, you know, it doesn't play like it. It looks so deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
I found it really hard in this version, particularly to see the humans on the ground. Mm-hmm. This was the one where I found it like really difficult. Actually, I found it difficult to see anything. It scrolls way too fast for its own good. You can't see fighting the bosses. This is where it like really fell apart. Like they kind of like wasn't enough of the screen to fit yourself and the boss on. Yeah. You had to be like literally on top of the boss to even be able to see it. And if you went off the screen, it was hard to see the incoming fire until it hit you.
Yep.
So it kind of made like the boss battles just like super tedious and like really hard. The only things I liked about it was like the voices, the audio samples, but that was in the Super NES version anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, the parallax scrolling was nice also, but the gameplay is just too twitchy in this game. And like we said earlier, you know, the handheld games haven't really fared all that well besides the Game Gear.
Yeah.
And I just don't think the aspect ratio works for handhelds with this game.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And I also found it weird about this one and the Super NES version is that it's called Super Drop Zone, but on the title menu they're both called Drop Zone.
Okay.
Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
It's only called Super Drop Zone on the box art. The actual game is just called Drop Zone. So it's almost like it was an afterthought. Like you know the Super Nintendo had Super slapped on everything in the front of it. I think they must have just done that just to differentiate itself, you know, from
because it's Super
Drop Zone. Otherwise, it's Super Drop Zone. But anyway, the title menu just says Drop Zone instead of the Super NES version, which is hilarious. But I wouldn't recommend this.
No,
and which is unfortunate because it's the only version they got the US release. No wonder nobody even like cares about this game over here.
Yeah. So the PS1 version is last. So that didn't get a US release as well.
No.
Wow. Okay.
I've never seen that game over here. Ever.
Oh, damn. Okay. I was expecting a lot from this. I really was. It's pretty much the SNES version with extra speech and a very annoying jetpack sound. I couldn't handle it. It drove me insane. Come on. It's pretty much, it's identical to the SNES. I mean, why would you bother? If you're going to release it on a 32-bit console, come on, at least put some effort in there. Yeah? Don't add this. It sounds like an Atari 2600 when you rip out the cartridge while it's on. I couldn't handle it. It was driving me absolutely bonkers. Yeah. So it's the SNES version, but with that stupid noise, and just stay away from it. It's really bad. I mean, it played fine, but when you've got that noise overpowering everything, it just takes everything away from the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that, but it drove me friggin' crazy.
It didn't bother me as much, but yeah, it's horrendous.
This, really? I was hearing that when I was trying to sleep. Yeah, trash. It's funny how one thing can just spoil something. You know, so yeah, just stick with the SNES version. There's no point playing a piece. Look, I would have been pissed off if I had the SNES version, and then I thought, oh, I'm going to get the PS1 version later. You're like, yeah. Really? It's the same game. I mean, there's no effort whatsoever. It's probably a Nintendo, Super Nintendo emulator on that disc. And then, I don't know. It's just lazy. It's very, 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 very lazy. That makes me mad. Well, I'm mad now. Like I was the first version when I played. It's like I went backwards.
Full circle. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I know the PS1 version is pointless, really.
Yeah, it is.
It's also got the same thing again. It's called Super Drop Zone, but it's called Drop Zone on the title menu, which is bizarre. I mean, anyway, it's almost exactly like the Super NES version. The graphics, I thought, weren't even as smooth, and neither was the scrolling, which is ridiculous, which you're playing on a PS1. That just shows me that, you know, these people that did the conversion or whatever it was just couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Also found this happened often with me. I don't know whether it happened with you, but the audio would cut out slightly just for like a second every once in a while.
I wish it did.
Yeah, like with the jetpacks. But when you were shooting, like, it would cut out like maybe a second before you shot, and sometimes afterwards when you died, sometimes when it exploded, it would cut out a little bit. That annoyed me even more than the jetpack thing, because I felt like there was no excuse for it. Like, you're not playing this. You're playing this on the PS1, for goodness sake.
Did you play it on emulation or real hardware?
I played it on emulation.
Okay, I did too. Maybe it's an emulation problem. I didn't encounter that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. I could be wrong. But gameplay, it plays okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the same thing. What really annoyed me the most about this game is loading times. Are you serious?
This game
can boot up on a C64 like complete, and on this thing it takes like, man, it must have taken at least 15 to 20 seconds to load, which is not a long time when you're a retro gamer, but for a PS1 game, for loading a level and drop zone, are you kidding me? Like, there's nothing to it, almost. Like, I'm sure this could be loaded onto the 2 meg of memory that the PS1 had, or was it 4 meg or whatever. But yeah, loading times, it's ridiculous. Play Super Drop Zone on the Super NES. Don't even bother with this garbage.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure this must have been a budget game released in Europe, because it came out in 2002 as well. That is like way after.
I don't think anyone cared about Drop Zone at that time. So
I'm pretty sure it was just a budget release. I'm just guessing. But yeah. Definitely, I'd not recommend it, that one.
Yeah, that's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Oh, someone's selling it in France for $43. Yeah, no, they can keep it.
Jeez.
I was just curious to see if it was rare or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this would have been out in the States.
No. I mean, as far as I could find it, only the Game Boy Advance version got released.
Interesting.
I've never come across the PS1 version over here at all, and I've been to a lot of conventions. you know, I would have thought that I would have seen it at this point.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I can't find any NTSC versions, only PAL. Yeah. Cool cover. Jeez, but you'd be deceived.
I know.
Yeah. So that's it.
I mean, yeah. Drop Zone.
That's Drop Zone.
Yeah. So, how do you feel about Drop Zone now?
You know, look, I'll eat my humble pie, yeah. It's actually, it's a good game. It's not a bad game. I think if I went back to the 664 version of Atari 8-bit, even this, I'd be like, nah, it's good. It's a good game. And not, I don't love it, but I think the SNES version is what won me over in the end. I think that's the perfect version of the game. That might make people angry. I personally think it's the most refined. So. You know what I mean? I'm not shitting on the originals. I'm not at all. I think they're a bit rough around the edges. You know what I mean? Mm. Again, it's not something I grew up with, so you know that's why I prefer the SNES version.
Yeah.
So SNES version gets my seal of approval, and I'd say the worst for me, I'll probably say GBA. This is the worst.
Yeah.
So what was your fave and your worst?
So honestly, the best one out of all these games is definitely the Super Nintendo one. And this is coming from a person that loves the C64 version, like with a passion. Like I really love that game. And the Super NES just, it has that game in there just enhanced with everything that you could possibly want. The boss battles just push it over the edge. I wish the 8-bit versions had boss battles. If they had that, wow, that'd be amazing. Somebody should actually do a mod or something.
That'd be, I reckon they could. They could make that sweet. they could make the 64 version look like the NES one. You know what I mean? Add boss battles. That'd be great.
That would be great. Anyway. So the Super NES version is by far the best. The one I love the most still is the C64 one. That's pure nostalgia because I can play that one the best. So therefore, like, you know, I feel like more invincible when I play it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like when I play the Super Nintendo one, rough around the edges. So, like, you know, I die a lot, but it is a better game. As far as like the worst ones go, it's a toss-up between the PS1 and the Game Boy Color, but it obviously has to go to the Game Boy Color because of pure gameplay. You know, the PS1 may have like a lot of issues and it's a sloppy mess, but the game still plays pretty decently.
So you reckon the Game Boy Color is worse than the GBA?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Game Boy Color.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll give you that.
The Game Boy Color, I couldn't see far enough, you know, just to anticipate anything. Mm-hmm. So I found it like probably the most frustrating, even though the Game Boy Advance one is almost on par, you know. But that one just annoyed me the most when I played it. So, yeah. I don't know. The handheld ones overall just don't work very well.
Yeah.
Although the Game Gear one is decent.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, get the...
Love that. Love it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so... That actually makes it's so it, random, isn't it? That's such a random tune to add to it. Strange.
I love the... I wonder, like, somebody must have just played Garrus, and then they were like, let's just slap that in there. It's a piece of classical music. That's we don't have to pay rights for anything, right?
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Jam it in.
Just chuck it in there. Chuck it in there.
It would be pretty cool to, you know, if any of the versions had music in game. I don't even know
if it would work.
If it would work with that game, because I'm so used to playing it without music now.
Mm-hmm.
Because every game, you know, I always feel like it has to have music in the background. But having played all these versions now, like I'm like,
yeah, I don't think it needs it.
It can do without it.
Yeah. The SNES, like the SNES version had the atmospheric sound behind it. I think that works.
Yeah, they work really well.
Did, yeah.
That actually really works well.
Yeah. Wow, so that's it. That's another episode down. Wow, that went, that's gone over an hour. We knew it was going to be a long one.
Yeah. A lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
But so what would you give it, your favorite version?
Oh, like how I many said, hands? Like I said, how many, I'm trying to think of something stupid. Okay, how many hands? That's right, it's hands. That's right, duh.
It's hands.
Okay, I give this NES version a 4 out of 5. Did we do it out of 5 or out of 10 last time? I can't remember.
Out of 10.
Out of 10. Okay, I'll give it an 8 out of 10. 8 hands out of 10 for the SNES.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd give it 8 as well.
Mm.
It's great.
It's a lot of fun.
A lot of fun to play. I would highly recommend it. I don't think a lot of people play that. I just don't. I've never heard anybody mention that game, like on the Super NES.
It's because I guess Super NES is more big in the US, that kind of thing. So they wouldn't have seen this game.
Yeah, that's true. Hey? Yeah, that's true.
All right, coming people in the USA, get onto it because it's great. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. And with that, that's it. And say a big thank you to all our listeners for the support. Thanks for jumping on board with the show, sharing the, you know, retweeting and getting in on all the voting, etc. Thanks to Gary Arnott for our pictures, for our podcast pictures. Big thank you for Jerome Tell for the music, for the intro and outro. Thank you so much for doing that. Also, a big thank to Kevin Tilley from Reset 64 magazine for your support as well. Should be a new issue coming out soon. So if you're everything C64, go to Reset 64 magazine on Twitter. And again, thanks to everyone that jumps on and supports us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And with that, au revoir.
Cheers.
Talk to you soon.